Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back in, everybody. Hour number two here on Sports Daily. Still getting connected with Dan, so we'll get to Dan just as soon as Jad gives us the thumbs up here. It is Jacob Albrecht and Brandon Zinner in the meantime, getting you ready for a big night of college basketball tonight. Getting ready for another crazy week of the NFL season. I was just looking through the playoff picture, and it's almost settled. The NFC is a little trickier, some of the divisional races, but, you know, this Thursday night game between the Chargers and Broncos, pretty massive, Brandon, honestly. Like, if the Chargers beat Denver, you've got Denver facing a situation where they have to then play the Bengals, who would not be eliminated, and the Chiefs. Denver's not out of the woods. Now, the Chargers obviously also face dire straits because they've got to play Denver. If they lose again, they're potentially only a game ahead of a team like Cincinnati or Indianapolis. So it is not quite settled there, but it should be an interesting stretch down here through the home stretch of the regular season. All right, we have Dan Israel in, our Chiefs insider, executive producer of the Chiefs Radio Network, as we bring Dan in to talk about what everybody's talking about, Dan, and that is a right ankle of a certain player and what it means. What have you heard? And if you could just give us like a gut feel, percentage chance, whatever it is that Mahomes plays, what would you give it right now?
Well, I've heard that it's a mid-ankle sprain, which is better than a high ankle sprain.
Okay.
Not as good as a low ankle sprain. But you know, he is so tough, Jacob. He refuses to play. I mean, he refuses not to play. And so, I think it's going to be hard to keep him out of the game, regardless of whether that's the best health decision for him or not. But especially with the Chiefs still fighting for that first round seed. I think his chances of playing are probably pretty good.
Dan, Brandon Zinner here. Thanks for joining us this morning. If in the fact that they do need to go to Carson Wentz, what does this offense look like with him? How much confidence do they have in that he can go in and run the offense that we have become accustomed to seeing throughout this season?
You know, Brandon, in training camp, he looked great. I mean, he really looked like a starting quarterback. It was almost like, why do we have two starting quarterbacks on this team? But when you're behind Patrick Mahomes, I mean, there's not much of a chance there. And there's also a reason that he's a backup quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs, right? But I do think he's capable. I do think he understands. You know, he's been in our offense now long enough that if he does have to go, He'll make a good outing, I believe. But I just think it's going to be hard to keep Mahomes down.
I can tell you right now, Vegas thinks that Wentz will play because the Chiefs are home dogs. If you look at those sorts of things, I think it's a really interesting decision. I think if Mahomes is anything less than 100%, it comes down to, can Carson Wentz beat the Texans at home? I think he can. And then at that point, you've got because the Pittsburgh game, as of right now, means more than the Texans game, right? Because Pittsburgh's technically still alive in the home field race. So that game means more. It would then be on a short week. You would still control your own destiny if Carson Wentz can't go. And I understand the other side of it, too, because if you beat Houston and Pittsburgh, then you could rest Mahomes for 2 weeks. I think it's a pretty fascinating decision for Andy Reid and the coaching staff on whether Mahomes wants to play or not, whether they let him play because they've got 3 games in 11 days coming.
Yeah, and I do think, you know, one of the issues here, first of all, when we talked about this, you know, 3 games in 11 days, man, the worst thing that can happen in that stretch is an injury, right? And that's exactly what happened. But, you know, the way the offensive line was playing, it was kind of a matter of time. But I think one of the factors there is going to be late in the week, just how much swelling remains. And, you know, I think if there's enough swelling in there that they just can't deny it, they'll sit him just because even his own people will tell him, you know, hey, this is, you don't want to mess this ankle up permanently. And so I think that there's some degree of that, but I think if it comes down to just a pain tolerance, there's no way they're keeping him out of there. They'll shoot that ankle up and he'll be out there. And I think it's, man, when you watch the Bills play on Sunday, this is going to be a fight to the end, I think. I'm not sure the Bills are going to lose another game, right?
And, Dan, we were already on Mahomes' injury watch just because of the state of this Chiefs offensive line. They make the change after the DJ Humphries injury. Joe Tooney moves over from left guard to left tackle for the first time since college, which I'm still not sure was even talked about enough nationally, how impressive that was. What did you take away from what we saw from him moving over, and what do you think this team does moving forward with that left tackle position?
Yeah, I mean, it's just such a real problem, right? I mean, I thought Tooney did really well. That is not easy to change positions. I know a lot of people think, hey, offensive line is the offensive line, but, you know, Tooney's used to going forward, not sideways. And so it's a pretty big leap for him to make. Thought he played great. You know, when you look at Mahomes came out of the game with an injury, there's always a strike in that direction, right? Nothing you can say about that. May not have been Tooney's fault, but it ultimately the offensive line failed there. And so I still think they have an issue. I think they're going to have to get used to doing a tackle eligible, tackle eligible or a, you know, bringing in keeping those tight ends back, man. You got to give Mahomes more time. I thought his time went from about just under 2 seconds to just under 2.5 seconds, which is a big deal in the NFL. But they need to, I'd like to see that get up to 3. That'd be much better.
So that's another good point, because as we talk about what to do with Mahomes, if TJ Watt is out, and he could be by the time the Chiefs play them, there's another reason for me. Like, Houston can rush, Houston can get after it and rush the passer. So can Denver. If I'm like crystal balling the perfect scenario here, it's that you can beat Houston with Carson Wentz, and then if you don't, maybe you have to get Mahomes in there against a Watt-less Pittsburgh pass rush, and then who knows what you'll need against Denver at that point. It's always been a protecting Mahomes thing, even before the injury to me. It's why I thought they needed to run the ball more. It's why all of these things are for this reason right here. I mean, I don't know. A mid-ankle sprain feels like it can get worse, right? It's not like he can just run out there and have no further injury risk. That feels like something that can get worse.
Definitely, and I think, you know, even though they can tape a mid-ankle sprain much better than a high ankle sprain, you're still putting the guy out there. And I mean, I think a perfect plan, if you ask me, would be to start Wentz. I mean, there's nothing keeping you. As long as you don't make Mahomes inactive, you could always bring him in the second half if the Chiefs need it. I don't know if they'll do that. I don't know. I know the optics of that may not be that pretty, but I'm with you. I believe they could beat the Texans with Wentz. Look, Wentz looks so good in training camp. I mean, he looked like a true starting quarterback. I'm not sure I would say they couldn't beat the Steelers with Wentz, but I just know, you know, how competitive Mahomes is, and it just seems like when the better part of valor would be to say, hey, rest now. You may even get to rest. Who knows? You may even get to rest on Christmas Day. That would be ideal, right? And then you can rest maybe against the Broncos. But, you know, it just – with the there would have to be a huge upset with the Bills for all of that to happen, and I just think, like, they want to keep the gas on and make sure that they get this first seed.
Yeah, the Bills finishing up three divisional games, two against the Patriots, one against the Jets. Those first two games against each of those opponents at home. And, Dan, regardless of who is playing under center, it sounds like Hollywood Brown has a very good chance of returning, which is going to be a huge help to whoever it is under center. What are you hearing about his chances to play this week? What do you think he'll bring to this offense? Because we did only get to see that for Check's Notes, one snap of the preseason.
Yeah, you know, Brandon, it's funny. He did a little bit of practicing last week, and it was like he didn't even miss a beat. Mahomes and him were still in sync, and I'm excited. I mean, the aspect of that, it's so unfortunate, this injury, because I really think that it would have been fun to see and for them those guys to get a few weeks under their belt before they hit this playoff run. But from all accounts, he's not missing a beat. He should be out there. How much they'll actually use him, especially if Wentz starts, I think you'll see him get some snaps. I mean, it's kind of like when they brought in Hopkins. You know, they were slow at it. They didn't exactly throw him into the mix, but they kind of slowly gave him a play here, a play there. I think they'll do the same with Hollywood Brown.
Is the Clyde Edwards-Helaire move yesterday, you think, the big reason why Hollywood is activated and ready to go for this game? Are we reading between the lines too much on that?
No, I think that you're exactly right, Jacob. I'm frankly shocked that it's taken this long, to be honest with you, because there just doesn't seem to be much that Clyde Edwards-Helaire can bring to the table at this point, right? I mean, especially Samaje Perine seems to be playing better every week, and we've still got Carson Steele in our pocket. So, yeah, I think so. I think you just, you know, there's only so many roster spots, right?
And as I alluded to, the Bills, they have the upper hand when you look at the schedule. If Mahomes is healthy, this is already a tough schedule for the Chiefs. When you look at the Texans, you look at the Steelers, and then a road trip to Denver in Week 18, they could be playing for the 6th seed or the 7th seed, which is going to maybe depend whether you're going to Buffalo or you're going to Pittsburgh, possibly, in the playoffs. How do you think this all plays out? Where are we seeing the AFC shake up once we enter the playoffs in less than 1 month's time?
Yeah, it's funny. It shows the parity of the league, right? I mean, you could end up being 15-2 and the 6th seed or whatever it is. It's just, it's nuts. But and you got to assume the Bills are just going to win all three of those games, right? I mean, man, the way they looked against the Lions, where they could just score at will, certainly makes you think they're going to score at will against the Patriots and against the Jets. I know the Jets had a good outing Sunday, but still, I just don't feel like that's going to be much competition for them. So the Chiefs, really, they're in the driver's seat, but there's just no margin of error when you talk about finishing the season against what are three very competitive opponents. I think, you know, the Broncos are playing much, much better. Even though they had a down week Sunday, I feel like that defense is for real. Steelers, I don't know what to think about other than they're a good team. They're always competitive. They're always in the fight. They remind me of the Chiefs in that they find ways to win. Tough game against the Eagles, of course, Sunday for them. But I think they'll be ready on Christmas Day. You know, the winner in all of this, guys, Netflix.
Oh, yeah. They
assuming
got,
the stream stays up.
They won. The Steelers have a George Pickens problem. When he's not out there, they're different. But, man, when he's out there, they're good. I want to ask you about the rest of the – so the Chargers and the Broncos will play, and that's a fascinating game to me because I don't know that either of these teams is completely safe. The Chargers had a major letdown. They're actually favored in that game. Okay, so the Chargers are favored. Let's just say the Chargers beat the Broncos. Then the Broncos got to turn around and play the Bengals, who are not eliminated yet. And then the Broncos have to finish with the Chiefs. Who would you, which situation would you rather have? Because the Broncos are a game ahead of the Chargers, but the Chargers finish with Denver and then New England and Vegas. Would you rather be Denver or would you rather be the Chargers right now? I think I'd rather be the Chargers.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. I mean, you know, I'm always stunned with the level of talent that the Chargers have that they can struggle so much, but I'd much rather play those two teams than what the Broncos are going to have to face. And I think you've also got a more experienced quarterback. When you talk about December football, you know, it kind of ticks up a notch. We always call it the race for the playoffs, right? And I feel like teams that are experienced play better in December, and so I think you'd have to give that hand to the Chargers as well. But if I had my choice, I'd rather be the Chargers.
We've been on here and haven't touched about the Chiefs defense at all yet, and that's a group that just forced six turnovers, held the Browns to just one big chunk play, 7 points on the day. When you look at the defense, is what they did, is it sustainable? Was it a product of who they played? Is the Chiefs defense back? Did Steve Spagnuolo figure something out in the last couple weeks? What's your take on this Chiefs defense at this point?
I tell you, the Cleveland Browns just seem to step on themselves every opportunity they were given. I mean, I'm really stunned almost at some of the, you know, the decisions that they made. Some of the errors they made were so uncharacteristic. I mean, we saw the Kadarius Toney, you know, lining up off sides. And so I don't know. I want to say that, do I think it should have taken 3 years for Trent McDuffie to get an interception? No. Do I think that, you know, he's got the monkey off his back with that? Maybe. I definitely think they work on that stuff every day. And so I think some of it was the Chiefs defense, but man, an awful lot of it just seemed to be the Cleveland Browns giving the Chiefs opportunities to make plays versus the other way around. I don't know. How do you guys feel about it?
I think, look, they had Jerome Ford had the big 62-yard run. You take that away, and Cleveland barely clears 200 yards. And it's not like Jameis Winston has been ineffective. Now, he's turned the ball over too much, but the Chiefs made their entire offense look ineffective. So I think two things were happening. I think the turnovers, yeah, maybe you can give that to Cleveland, but even just the lack of ability to do anything. And honestly, Dan, is it just as simple as they finally had a pass rush in that game? Like, is it that much of a difference that, man, if they could just get a pass rush down the stretch, we could see the Chiefs' defense return to what it once was?
I do think that's the case. I mean, I always believe it starts at the defensive line, and I think Steve Spagnuolo says that quite a bit. So, you know, for them to be able to get. And George Karloftis was a monster, man.
Monster.
I'd love to see him play like that every week because he's got that kind of heart, you know. So I think as he increases and he becomes more, a veteran in this league, you might see more of that out of him, and that's a good thing, man. That's a really good thing. But I do feel like the defensive line played extremely well, and that was a huge, huge benefit to the secondary. And to finally, you know, kind of force those guys to cover 4 seconds, not 8 seconds, that's a big deal, right?
And just because nobody enjoys picking games based off of kicking matchups like Jacob Halbrocht, Harrison Butker comes back from injured reserve and misses that field goal. Any worry there in your part?
You know, there must have been a worry to some degree. I thought it was interesting because Coach Tobe told us earlier in the week that, you know, Butker wasn't going to kick off, that they were going to leave Justin Reed out there to do that. That, to me, tells me that they were already concerned about either the strength of his leg, the recovery. I'm not quite sure why they rushed him out there, given that, you know, Matthew Wright was AFC Special Teams Player of the Week. But I have a little bit of concern with that because, again, until he's back to looking like Harrison Butker, and that includes kicking him off through the end zone, I think there's a reason for that. And And, you know, I just have to wonder why, and if that's just a matter of getting back out there and loosening the thing up, and you got to just go through a week of practice, then I guess we'll see this week. But definitely something to keep your eye on, you know. I mean, special teams has been a factor, and it seems like 75, 80, 90% of these games this season, and Harrison Butker has been a big part of that. So, you know, you don't want to go out there with anything less than your best.
Yeah, I can't imagine they rushed him back. That wouldn't, I mean, they just wouldn't need to. Dan, we appreciate it. You guys get the Saturday game, then a Christmas Day game. It's going to be a wacky schedule for everybody on the network here. Of course, you'll hear all the games over on KNSS. Thanks for calling in. I know it's been a little different on your schedule today, but we appreciate the time, and we'll all be on ankle watch the rest of the week.
That's right. My pleasure, guys. Have a good Tuesday.
There goes Dan Israel, executive producer of the Chiefs Radio Network. If you missed anything there, if you joined us late, you can, of course, always go back and listen all the time on the Odyssey app. You can download it. The show gets podcasted there. Thousands and thousands of people do that every month. We appreciate everybody who does that every month. All right, let's take a quick break when we come back. We got a call here on, and I'm glad. Ken's been trying to get us to talk NBA Cup, and we've got Brandon in here. Brandon pays far more attention to this thing than I do. Let's see, how much time have I spent watching the NBA Cup? It'd be zero, and then carrying another zero. It'd be zero. But we'll get Ken's take on it. The Thunder are involved. Of course, we know there are a lot of Thunder fans in this part of the world. And get Brandon's take. He's paying more attention to this stuff this time of year than I am. So we'll come back. We'll have that. Hang with us, Ken. We'll get your calls. The IHOP hotline is back open the rest of the way. It is brought to you by IHOP, the official breakfast partner of Xbox. Come in, try the decadent fully loaded French toast only at IHOP. We'll hit that next when we return on Sports Daily. Don't go away.
Seven five and 1240 KFH.